Svayambhuva Kaya Vritya Vartitam Te Parangvayaha Katam Chedam Mudasrakshi Kale Prapte Kalevaram. Translation, O son of Brahma, how did you pass your life after initiation and how did you attain this body having quit your old one in due course? Hey Brahma Putra, apni dikka grahane por kibhabe apnar jibon otibahito korechilen ebong apna purba deha jathashomoye tyag korar por kibhabe apni ei deha prapto hon. So purport by Srila Prabhupada, Sri Narad Muni in his previous life was just an ordinary maidservant son. So how he became so perfectly transformed into the spiritual body of eternal life, bliss and knowledge is certainly important. Sri Vyasadeva desired him to disclose the facts for everyone's satisfaction. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. This one's better. Is it? Alright. Srila Prabhupada herein comments that it is important to understand how Narad Muni in his previous life was just a very ordinary person and how he got a completely spiritual existence. Vyasadeva wanted to know. So it's important. He didn't become self-realized by some kind of half-entertainment in the name of religion, as we are hearing in the background. He became spiritually realized by association with pure devotees and specifically by serving pure devotees. So there is a difference between formal or mundane religion and actual love of God. So all of you have come here, I would guess most of you have come here because there is a desire for love of Krishna. Is that right? Abhirakijan Dasyalan. Krishna Prem Lab Karajanan. Sejan Dasyalan. Naki. Because you want to love Krishna, you have come here. Now, many people have come to the temple because it is Durga Puja is going on, which is a special festival, especially in Bengal. Not so much in Bangladesh. I think most of you are from Bangladesh, is it? In West Bengal, Calcutta, Ekdam, Dumdam, oh, ki rakamay ojan hoy, Calcutta, Durga Puja shomoy. Apurva, but it's all useless because it's not meant for developing love of Krishna. So it's ultimately it's useless, like everything else in this material world. It's a big show. Actually, this who's been in Calcutta at the time of Durga Puja? Anyone? Only me. It's amazing. There's huge pandals and so many all over the city and bright lights and big moving or like robots of different deities and all kinds of things. It's really very spectacular. But actually this major Durga Puja festival, open-air festival, was only introduced about 200 years ago. Otherwise it used to be done at home. Apnara janan? Ei babe janata madde dumdham theke Durga Puja ujapan kara seta adhunik pratha. 200 200 বছর আগে সবাই মানে শাক্ত যারা ছিল তো নিজের ঘরে ওই সব করেছে. It's only recently that it's been introduced as a public festival. Anyway, the point is that different people come to temples or religious gatherings for different reasons. But the particular reason that one should come to hear Srimad Bhagavatam is for the sake of developing love of Krishna or reviving our love of Krishna. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Shadha Kabu Noi Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Kariye Udoy. Love of Krishna is dormant in everyone's heart, and that can be revived by the process of Bhakti Yoga. But most people don't know this. Most people don't know this, and therefore they're suffering in this material world. And most people take religion as a process by which we can overcome our suffering in this world and achieve happiness, either in this life or a future life, happiness based on sense gratification. But actually this is all anartha. Anartha means that which is not wanted, that which is not valuable, that which has no meaning. As long as we do not understand that we are all part and parcel of Krishna, we are meant to serve Krishna, then everything else we do, including Durga Puja, including sending Chinese people out into space, or whatever may be going on in the news, it's all simply a waste of time. It's a distraction from the real purpose of life, which is developing love of Krishna. So this is all anartha. Artha means meaning, or that which is meaningful, and anartha means that which has no real meaning. And that which has no real meaning is it's an obstruction or an obstacle or the antithesis of this which has meaning. So anartha o pashamam sakshad bhakti yoga adhok sajay. Lokasya janato vidvans chakre satvata sanghitam. This anartha of not being Krishna conscious is directly tackled and overcome by the process of bhakti yoga, or serving Krishna in devotional service. That bhakti yoga is to adhokshaja. Krishna is herein referred to in this verse by the term adhokshaja. It means he who is not perceivable to mundane senses. As long as we desire dhanam, janam, sundarim, all these things, wealth, women, money, fame, glory, we cannot begin to understand Krishna. So Krishna is perceivable by purified senses, and by bhakti yoga to Krishna, we can, just by beginning that process, our senses begin to become purified. So bhakti yoga is the direct system of linking with Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the material creation. The process of linking with Krishna by devotional service. But most people don't know this, and therefore Vyasadeva compiled this Srimad Bhagavatam, which is directly to the point of bhakti. It directly explains about bhakti. So, by this process of bhakti, even very fallen and lowly people like myself, they can come in contact with Krishna and can become fully purified. There is evidence of this, that even if someone has no background of bhakti, if he has no pious activities, if he takes to devotional service, he can become fully purified very quickly. Whereas in other processes, karma, jnana, yoga, It requires much preparation, which may take many lives, even to become qualified to participate in that. But because bhakti is directly the process of linking with Krishna in our constitutional position, therefore even someone who is very sinful, if they take to Krishna consciousness, they can immediately jump over and leave behind all kinds of contaminations and become directly linked with Krishna. Now in the verse which we just read, Swayambhuva kaya vritya vartitang te parang vayaha katang chedam udasrakshi kale prapte kalevaram. Vyasadev asks Narad Muni about how he himself came to the position of being Narad Muni. Narad Muni is a very honorable position. Unfortunately, in the Indian drama and cinema, Narad is presented as a comical figure. Narad is not a comical figure. That is very offensive to present Narada as a comical figure. He is Narada, which means he who gives Narayana. He is our guru. He is worshipable. He is not only the guru of Vyas, but he is the guru of Dhruv Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj, Vasudev, the father of Krishna, and so many other great personalities became purified by the association of Narada. So Vyasadev, he was hearing the narration. Narada told Vyasadev about the glory of bhakti. He did so by narrating the story of his own previous life, that in a previous life, Narad was a very ordinary person, the son of a maidservant. Those of you we see in Singapore, Malaysia, India, that people who have more income, those who are of the higher income group, they employ servants, isn't it? So, some maid to come and do the cleaning and maybe the cooking. And generally in Singapore, I think they won't be Singaporean citizens. They'll come from Indonesia, is it? Or Nepal or somewhere like this. From some poorer country. So it's understood that the son of a maidservant is not from a very high-class position. Who cares about the son of a maidservant? If the son of the prime minister dies, it will be front page in the newspaper. If the son of an immigrant, or not even immigrant, but foreign maidservant dies in Singapore, it's not, maybe there'll be three lines or two lines in the newspaper. It's not big news. So how did Narad Muni come from the position of being someone very insignificant to such a great person? I mean, even from the spiritual point of view also, Narad, in his previous life, could not have been expected to have been a very exalted person. Because generally, it's only the very high-class brahmanas, and the kshatriyas, raja vidya, this knowledge was Bhagavad Gita was spoken to the kings. Imam vivasvate yogam proktavana hamavyayam vivasvan mahanave praha manur ikshvakave bravit. This Krishna himself spoke to Vivasvan, the sun god, kshatriya, head of the progenitor, of the Surya Vamsa, in which Lord Ramachandra later appeared. And actually, although of course Ramachandra is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and occupies an extraordinarily important position, in fact, any importance that anyone has is only derived from him. He's the most important person. But many other great personalities appeared in the Raghuvamsa, Surya, which comes under the Surya Vamsa. They're great personalities both materially as kings and spiritually as great devotees. So he was a Kshatriya, and this knowledge is passed down among the kings and of course among the Brahmanas, who are very learned and austere, and they have the qualifications. Vairagya Vidya, renunciation and knowledge. And they cultivated knowledge of Shastra. But Lord Krishna states in Bhagavad Gita, Mam hi parthavya pashraja yepi syu papayoneha striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti param gatim. O son of Pritha, he says to Arjuna, those who take shelter in me, even if they are merchants, laborers, women or others of lower birth, sinful birth, they can achieve the supreme destination. King Punar Brahmana Punya Bhakta Rajarshayasthata Anityam Asukam Lokam Imam Prapya Bhajasvama. Then Krishna in the next verse goes on to say that, well, certainly, if even people of a very low birth, they can attain me, then what to speak of the pious brahmanas and the devotees among the kshatriyas who in this temporary, miserable world worship me? Surely they will attain me. So in general, it's not expected that someone who's from the son of a maidservant... You see, if someone says they're the son of a maidservant, it's unusual to say that, isn't it? Usually you have to give your father's name, isn't it? Just like in Tamil names, they give the name something like R. Subramanian. And R will stand for the father's name, isn't it? That's the system. R. Narasingham. If the father's name is Ranganathan, then you put R. Narasimham. And generally on the government forms in India, they put, what is your name? What is your father's name? They don't ask, what is your mother's name? So if someone is identified by his mother, it suggests that the father is not known. And that's quite common with maid servants. They give birth to illegitimate children, bastard children. And in any language of the world, the word bastard, apart from having its literal meaning, is also used as a pejorative term. It's considered, if someone's a bastard, it's considered, what are you? That means, what is the character of your mother if she's having children out of wedlock? And even the father may not be known. That was in the case of Jabali, that's mentioned in the Chandogya Upanishad. That he knew who his mother was and didn't know who his father was. So that was considered very low class. So Narada came from a very low class kind of background, but he achieved the highest perfection. So it's possible for Narada, it's possible for everyone. And actually in Kali Yuga, pretty much everyone's from a low class background. We say high class and low class. And in the modern age, high class means how much money you've got. That's all. There's no idea of culture or learning. Ritam eva kalo nrinam. In Bhagavatam it's mentioned that one's status as a human being will be judged by how much money he has, that's all. Not whether you're cultured, or whether you know the Shastra, or whether you're religious, whether you have Vairagya or Vidya, none of these things. Someone who has money by any means is considered a gentleman, isn't it? Somehow or other, and people don't care how they make money. You'll even find people who are, they're very proud of being Brahmanas. I'm a Brahmana. I'm an Aya. I'm an Iyengar. I'm a whatever, Sharma, Shukla. But they'll take some jobs. I'm working for an airline as an air steward, serving out the meals to the people, giving them meat to eat. So they don't care. The money is the main. You see, they're saying which is the best religion, Islam or Hinduism or Buddhism or whatever. But practically speaking, the religion of everyone is the same. It's money, that's all. They're all praying, whether they pray to Buddha or whether they pray to Jesus or whatever. Everyone is simply after money. No one is praying, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janmani janmanishwari bhavatad bhaktirahaituki twai. No one is praying, means you, I hope, are praying like that. That's why you came to hear Srimad Bhagavatam. Because you want to get love of Krishna, this verse means how to pray to Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught us, we do not pray for money, women, wealth, or anything so-called enjoyable in this useless material world. We only want to surrender to Krishna and serve Him, even birth after birth, without even desiring liberation, simply to serve Krishna for the sake of serving Him. So this is the actual perfection of life. This is taught in Srimad Bhagavatam, and Narad Muni gives the example of himself, that I did it, everyone else can do it. I came from a nondescript background, from a sinful background, and now I'm Narad Muni. And I'm Narad Muni, he goes everywhere and teaches everyone to serve Krishna. Narad Muni is a great devotee of Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada was sitting in his room in our temple in ISKCON in London, and he started laughing. And the devotee, he asked him, why are you laughing? There was only one devotee with Prabhupada. The whole temple was empty because all the devotees used to go out every day for chanting the name of Krishna in the streets of London. So Prabhupada was laughing, and the devotee asked Prabhupada why. He said that Srila Prabhupada replied that Narad Muni is laughing in ecstasy to see how the Malechas are chanting Hare Krishna. Because Prabhupada's disciples, they're mostly from the background of what are called Mlecha. Mlecha means meat eater. Of course, most people in India today are also Mlechas, because they're meat eaters. But especially in the Western countries, there's no culture. People are a long, long way from Krishna Bhakti. Even if people in India are eating meat, at least most of them, there's some kind of attraction to Krishna. But in the Western countries, most people, they never heard of Krishna. Or at least before Prabhupada had gone to the West, no one had heard of Krishna. So Narad Muni was dancing in ecstasy. Prabhupada saw how Narad Muni is dancing in ecstasy to see the Mlechas chant the names of Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada is following in the footsteps of Narad Muni. He's following in the footsteps of Vyas by teaching this Krishna consciousness all over the world with the faith that everybody can become a pure devotee of Krishna. And that's why you've come, I hope, I presume, because you want to love Krishna. Some people might be coming, they're not really sure, but they kind of like it. They may not be committed yet. Or some people may be coming. Some people just come because their wife drags them along. Or sometimes they just come, or the women come because their husband drags them along. They make some bargain. Okay, I'll go with you to the ISKCON satsang, but then you have to come with me to some other satsang, my own one, which I like. So there may be different reasons why people are coming. In Dubai and other countries in the Gulf, some people come. One main reason they come, I mean, they like the bhajans and everything, but they like the prasadam, because they are what, bachelors. They don't get anything good to eat. It's probably the same thing here in Singapore, isn't it? The unmarried men from India, or they may be married, but they're living here away from their family, and they don't get anything, they don't have time to cook anything, they just eat in some restaurant or something. And they come, and the prasad is so delicious, they thought, well, I didn't understand all that heavy philosophy, and the singing, ah, it's okay la. But I really came for the prasadam, that's really good. And they'll come again and again and again, and gradually they get to like the kirtan, they get to like the devotees, and they start listening and they think, well, the philosophy is quite good too. And in the beginning they came for prasadam, but then you'll find them, after 1 year they go back to some village in Andhra Pradesh or whatever, and they've got Vaishnav Tilak on, and they're telling everyone to chant Hare Krishna. So people ask, what happened to him? He went to Singapore to get some money and he came back like a sadhu. So prasadam is very important also. Who agrees with that? Is it? Everyone likes the prasadam, is it? And in Singapore you have mixed of South Indian style, North Indian style, Malay style, Chinese style, all different kinds. So Narad Muni, he also, how did he become spiritually advanced? One major reason is because he took prasadam. He served the Vaishnavas. And then, with their permission, he took their prasadam. So taking the remnants of food of Krishna, that's called prasad, Krishna prasad. But if we get the prasadam, which is taken by devotees, that's called maha maha prasad. So that's very important. It takes a lot of humility to take the remnants of someone else's food. Generally we think that only beggars will do that, isn't it? Some beggar, of course you don't find beggars in Singapore. If anyone begs in Singapore, they get, extradited. They get thrown out of the country, isn't it? No begging. I think it's not allowed here. Is that right? I wasn't here for 20 years, but I suppose it's still the same. But in many countries you'll find beggars. Now in America you'll find so many Americans begging in the street. So if someone's really desperate, they're hungry, they may go into a restaurant and eat, or when the restaurant is closing at night, the beggars may come and try to get something to eat. If you're really desperate, you'll eat the leftovers of someone else's food. And in Indian culture, people used to be very particular about food. They wouldn't eat food from someone of another caste. They were very strict. Even many brahmanas, they wouldn't even eat the food cooked by their wife. They would only cook for themselves. It used to be a common thing in India. They're called svapaki. They'll only take what they cook by themselves. They're very particular. So to take the food from someone else, even if someone else has cooked that food, people were very particular. They wouldn't want to do it. They would think that's below their dignity. And what to speak of the food remnants that someone else has eaten. So it takes great humility. One has to have great faith in the Vaishnavas to take the food, the remnants of food which is left over by them. But those who do so, they are blessed by Krishna for their humility. So how did Narad become a great devotee? By taking prasad, the remnants of prasad offered to devotees, and by serving them. So there's a lesson for all of us. How can we advance in bhakti? There is a process, there are many important things to do. Narad Muni, he took the remnants of food offered to devotees. It's not always easy to get that, but at least we should take the vow of taking only food offered to Krishna. It's easy to just buy some biscuits from the store, some bread from the store, but devotees don't do that. They only take prasad, which means we have to cook it ourselves and offer it to Krishna. We cannot just buy some bread and offer it to Krishna. Of course you can do, but that doesn't mean that Krishna will accept it. Krishna says, Patram Pushpam Palang Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tadaham Bhakti Paharitam Ashnami Prayatatmanaha. Krishna says, if someone offers me with bhakti, a leaf, a flower, fruit or water, I will accept it. So there's no bhakti to purchasing bread in a store and offering it. That is actually an offense. We will not develop bhakti by doing so. Rather, we will block our bhakti because it means that we're not serious to serve Krishna. So we should take only prasadam, and there are many rules over, or many other rules also, especially in Kali Yuga. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatira Nita. We should chant the names of Krishna. This is the only way to achieve bhakti in this Kali Yuga, to achieve the destination. So the example of Narad Muni is given, and it gives us faith that even though we may be very fallen, we come from bad backgrounds, we're sinful. Everyone in Kali Yuga is sinful, especially in the modern age. Even people, they may be Hindus, but mostly everyone, even the so-called Hindus, they're also, most of them, they've eaten meat and drunk alcohol, and what to speak, there may be worse other things also. Now the Hindus are beginning to eat beef. That's becoming very popular and common. Though it's very sinful, but they're eating mutton, so they think, then why not take beef? What's the difference? So people are very sinful, but even if we come from a very fallen and sinful background, if we chant Hare Krishna and follow the principles of Bhakti Yoga, we can become fully purified. We should have faith in this. So, maybe I'll just give a short summary of what I said in Bengali, just 5 minutes. And then if there are any questions, we can take it. Vyasadev Narad Muni theke jiggesh korechen, to apni ki bhabe ei charam bastu labh korechen. Narad Muni tar uttore Vyasadev ke bekha koren je amar purba janmay ami ek dasi putra chilam. কিন্তু যেহেতু আমি খুব শ্রদ্ধা সহিতে ভক্তি বেদান্ত মনে শুদ্ধ ভক্ত গণে চরণ সেবা করেছি এবং বিশেষ করে যেহেতু আমি শুধুমাত্র একবার সেই ভক্তি বেদান্ত মহাভগবত বৈষ্ণব জনে উচ্ছিষ্ট প্রসাদ সেবা করেছি, সেই জন্যে এইখন আমি বিশ্ববিখ্যাত ভক্তি প্রচারক নারদ মুনি এই পদ প্রাপ্ত হচ্ছে। তো এর থেকে আমরা বুঝতে পারি যে আমরা ও মানে নারদ মুনি তো পতিত ছিলেন না, সেটা হলো তার লীলা। ভগবান কৃষ্ণ এই আয়োজন করেছেন যাতে তাদের আদর্শ এবং উদাহরণ দ্বারা আমরা আশা লাভ করতে পারি যে আমরা পতিত হলেও দীনহীন কঙ্গাল হলেও আমরা যদি নিষ্ঠার সাথে ভগবানের ভক্তি করি তাহলে আমরাও খুব অল্প সময়ের মধ্যে শুদ্ধ ভক্ত হতে পারে। কি করে সম্ভব হয়? শুদ্ধ ভক্তদের কৃপা দ্বারা আমরা পতিত হলেও আমরাও শুদ্ধ ভক্ত হতে পারে। তো আমাদের জন্য আশা আছে যে আমরা যদি খুব দৈন্যভাবে এবং নিষ্ঠার সাথে ভগবানের ভক্তি করি তাহলে আমরা দীনহীন পতিত হলেও আমরাও শুদ্ধ ভক্ত হতে পারি। এই কলিযুগে সেই শুদ্ধ ভক্তি প্রাপ্ত করা একমাত্র উপায় আছে হরে না হরে কৃষ্ণ। অলরাইট, সো এনি কোয়েশ্চেন অ্যাবাউট দিস প্লিজ? ডিজ এনিওয়ান হ্যাভ এনি কোয়েশ্চেন? অলরাইট, টেক ইট অ্যাওয়ে। That's not a question. That's the answer to all questions. You got your answer. The answer is Hare Krishna. So what's the question that the answer is to? What is the question that Hare Krishna is the answer to? You offer fruit and milk, but you eat other things than fruit and milk. So that means you're not taking prasadam, is it? Seems like it. So better you take only Krishna prasadam, because by taking food not offered to Krishna, that contaminates the consciousness. We cannot actually become a pure devotee of Krishna unless we practice taking only food offered to Krishna. That will block our devotional service. Yeah. So, eating is very important. Eating is very important, obviously, to maintain the body, but it's also very important for our consciousness. And the vow to eat only prasadam is an act of surrender to Krishna. It may not always be easy, but it's a sign of our bhakti. Sometimes you may have to skip a meal, or you may have to take some fruit because there's nothing else available. But that's a sign of bhakti. If we're more interested in satisfying our tongue than in satisfying Krishna, we cannot attain Krishna. Jiva lalase je iti uti dhai, shishno dar parayan Krishna nahi pai. This is Bengali from Chaitanya Charitamrita, but the Bengalis can't understand it. Abner bujhte paren na mone hoy. Jiva lalase je iti uti dhai, shishno da parayan Krishna nahi pai. Shishno da parayan artho ki. Saral Bangla. Shishna mane ki? Linga. Jon prabriti. Maithuner iccha. Shishna dor parayan mane. Pet bharajanne ebong maithun karajanne ashakta. So those who are attached to, yeah, the meaning of this verse is that those who are greedy to fulfill the demands of the tongue and who run here and there, where is some nice food to eat, they become attached to the activities of the genitals and the belly, that means to sex and nice food, and they cannot attain Krishna. So he's saying about prasad, and many people come for prasad, that's good. But don't go here and there looking, where is some nice food for my tongue? In the beginning, one may be interested in prasad primarily for the sake of food, because it tastes nice, but one should, when one takes initiation, along with, of course there are four regulative principles, but there are many others which we don't say. If one's to be initiated, he should have the vow of only taking Krishna prasadam. Otherwise, that's an offense to Krishna, to take anything but Krishna prasadam. Is there any other question, please? Ar kono prashna jodi thake bolun.
Some people were asking me.
Many questions begin with this.
So one question, Maharaj. On the Krishna devotees, they are not taking the fish, meat, so-called the living beings, but they are taking the vegetarian food. Vegetables
are taken from the plants.
Yes.
That's also killing, is that the point?
Yes.
Well, much vegetarian food is not killing. Milk is not killing. Grains, if we take grains, is that killing the plant?
No.
It's harvested after the plant has died, isn't it? Fruit. The mango comes from a tree. We don't kill the tree. So it's not killing. In some cases it may be. But there's a difference between killing a carrot and killing a cow. It is less sinful. Even if we take milk, that's also sinful. Unless we offer it to Krishna. But taking milk and taking beef, there's a great difference. Taking milk, it's sinful, but it's not nearly as sinful as killing the cow and taking the meat. So there's a difference, obviously. People who say that killing a cow and killing a carrot are the same, well, we can tell them, well, killing your baby is also the same. It's a very poor argument. It's like saying that stealing a cucumber and stealing a diamond is the same. It's called kirachor, hirachor. But stealing a cucumber is a minor crime, and stealing a diamond is a major crime, right? Because the diamond is more valuable than the cucumber. So a cow is more important than a carrot, and it feels pain. It has an experience of suffering more than that of a carrot. So it's a silly argument. You can tell people that because you're a meathead, you have no brain to understand. Yes, anything else, please? All right, so we can finish there. You're going to serve prasadam now? All right. I'd like to announce I have some books. Would you like to show a few books? Srila Prabhupada told me to write books, so I've written many books. Books are available here in English, Hindi, Bengali, Tamil, and Telugu, written by me. So, this one is very important.